Welcome to the mystical world we live in with Almeen. This hour, you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Almeen.
That you can join us today, and we have, as usual, some interesting topics for you. I don't know what they are yet, but I know that that's the case because Rogier has been working very hard compiling your questions. Rogier, welcome today, and thank you, as usual, for your assistance, and I'm delighted to answer anything that I can that you can fire at me.
Okay, thank you. The first question is one which came in through YouTube, and I would just like to add that anyone who wants to watch your clips on YouTube can just perform a search on Almeen and they will come up. One of the first questions which came in was about the mother, and which to some people may be rather controversial, and because to this person it seems to imply a female superiority, and also raised for him or her the question of who then created the mother.
Yes, very, very fascinating question, and I will start right in with that. We said on the actual clip on YouTube, which we did an interesting little bit on, which we won't duplicate here, but we did say there that, you know, the foot can't say to the body, oh, my goodness, I'm less important to you. The body doesn't say it to the foot, you're less important than I am because I am the whole and you're a part of me that is nevertheless very crucial for the functioning. The issue of the mother and the father goes very far back, and it just so happens that I have spent the last several months receiving information and understanding every day a little layer further how life began. So let me just take it back as best as I can, and we'll see where we end up. Firstly, the creation of a creator can never exceed what is within that creator. The infinite being that is the one being expressing as the many isn't just female. It is male, and every bit of maleness in the cosmos is within it, because otherwise it couldn't have made it. So all maleness is within that infinite being, and all femaleness. And it just so happens that in terms of the cosmos and life as a whole, femaleness is more prevalent, the reason being that species have to procreate, that things have to be created, and that things are birthed. When things are created through the male only, it's an electrical, mental thing that occurs, and beings like that don't actually have feeling bodies. So it's imperative that creation, procreation, as we have in nature, happens through female. So there is more female components in this infinite being than male components. So when the father, as the first externalized being that the mother makes, now that excludes the space that she created for him to have as a playground, or a stage, if you will, or a home. But she created first the stage, then she created the first being, which is the father. Now the father, it would be selling him short if we say that he is only the externalized expression of the infinite, and we can call the infinite mother simply because when she created father within this playground, she expressed more femininely so that she could relate to father so that she could study herself. So the father, being created from mother, is an expression of all that she is. He's just, he's been created by her, but with emphasis on his masculine abilities. We all have male and female in us. We either express predominantly female or predominantly male. So that is exactly the way that it was created. Now, to say is there female supremacy, well, what are we saying, that a part of the infinite being is more important than another part of the infinite being? The left foot is more important than the right foot? It's not even a really... If we have a little bit of understanding, and a little bit of understanding of this complex topics isn't easily come by. But once we get that bit of understanding, we understand that that question doesn't really make sense. Anything created by a creator is obviously not as potent as the creator itself. Nevertheless, a painting stands on its own two feet as something quite exquisite that adds to life, independent, once it's created, of its creator in some ways, yet other ways not, because the heart and soul of that artist is in that work. So that's the first part of it. And I don't know, did you want me to go further than that? Or?
Well, there is another part to the question, or a separate question maybe, which this person asked, and... I'm thinking, you know, would it even be a meaningful question then to say, well, who created the mother? Because for some people, positioning the mother would sort of be a way to explain, well, who created God? But then the question is, well, who created the mother? But then, for judging from what you've just said, that might not even be a meaningful question.
I am happy to reveal. I mean, some of this came through last night at midnight. So I'm happy to talk about anything that I know regarding that. You know, there's very, very few pieces of my work that I need to hang on to for the time being. Most of it can totally be shared. It just is how ready are people to hear it. Because I must say that until February of 2005, you know, I was unaware that the infinite mother... existed as an actual human being, not a human being, as an individuation. I had become aware that there was a female that had femaleness, that had created the maleness that was all we were aware of. If you look at the tree of life, it's the vertical, it's the four directions. But during an incredibly mystical experience that I do explain in Journey to the Heart of God, I did uncover that there was this whole horizontal I Ching, horizontal Dzogchen, horizontal, tree of life that we had overlooked, and I uncovered it, and the story of how that happened is incredible, but it's in Journey to the Heart of God. So I knew as a principle that God the Father was created by a God the Mother. I just wasn't aware that she was an individuated being. Until February of 2005, when I found myself being called to do the work for her. And since then, you know, she's day by day, she has been in my life. I have been in her presence. I have been in the presence of up to 42 of the female aspects that she created to hold open space before space collapsed, and so on. I've also had her in communication with the students that come to my classes every time. There hasn't been a time that somebody hasn't received her voice or her language or something from her, and for the most part, it's almost everyone in the class. So she's been in day-by-day communication because she's been giving us what it is our next step that we're doing. My job is the key turner, so to speak, in the physical, because all things that mother does has to be done at the very dense level. Otherwise, ascension would split reality and leaving the physical behind. Therefore, it has to be lifted up from the bottom up. So I can tell you that as far as I can see, now understand that we mustn't think spatially, which is very hard not to do. Mother was a single cell. That's how she originated. But for all we know, and she's the one that pointed this out when I said, what? You're just a single cell? She said, how do you know that every experience that has ever been hasn't taken place inside a single cell? She said, space is nothing to the infinite. So Mother was a single cell. She then created an electrically dominant, a male dominant other cell. The cell that is her original cell is in her heart, because after that, after creating the other cell, jointly they created other clusters of cells that actually gave her a form. She did that because they were projecting this playground, if you will, and she wanted to enter into the playground. Once she entered into the playground, she again externalized her masculine pieces, interacted in a hermaphroditic way with them, so that birth could take place. In other words, she externalized a male piece of herself, and jointly they created God the Father. She then reabsorbed that male piece of herself. And she did this because immaculate conception of the Father seemed to produce instability. Now, this is very technical, and I understand if folks don't grasp all of it. Please don't concern yourself. But that is literally how life began so far. Every day, I'm uncovering more.
And with instability, you mean?
With instability, I meant that when Mother immaculately conceived Father, he had difficulty functioning when he was emotional. And I've actually seen that prior to Mother fixing it, because she went back in time to conceive him and this way, because she conceived him immaculately before. But I noticed from the gods that I worked with all over the cosmos, planetary gods, the seven lords of light that we had for a time, that when they were emotional, they couldn't function.
Well, and I guess that's mirrored in a lot of men as well, just in general.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And so the modus operandi for them was to suppress their emotions because they went that much out of balance. Since Mother has changed that, men should everywhere change as well.
All right. And you said that when the masculine creates, that it's an electrical mental creation and no feeling body. But if that's the case, then what would be the purpose of God or the masculine in creation? Or
God the Father, Mother's mate in the playground, because there's no individuated life outside of the playground other than the cells Mother made for herself. But in the playground, God is Mother's mate. It is so that life also is enhanced when it comes through him. In other words, again, even the Immaculate Conception of the cosmos by Mother, which was done before, she undid it and redid it through him because of the fact that the cosmos also was not as stable.
Okay, and when you speak of, you mentioned that earlier, that you discovered that Mother exists as an individuation.
Yes.
What was exactly was...
Okay, well, we had a little technical glitch that pulled us off the air a little earlier than we wanted to go off. So it's not that it was surprising to find an individuated being. It's just that I hadn't looked. I had simply, in my heart communicated with God the Father, knew that he was created by a God the Mother, but didn't know either if she was individuated or if she was, in fact, within the cosmos, part of where we were, because we were, as a material cosmos at the time, in the south. The south is part of the linear tree of life, the four directions. At the head of that is God the Father. But how involved that horizontal axis was with the vertical axis, I didn't know. So I didn't know that she'd had, in fact, the vertical axis was a playground, that she was in it. So I didn't have that knowledge at that time.
But did you just say that at the linear vertical tree of life, at the head of that is God the Father?
That is what I have supposed, because of the fact that it's masculine. The horizontal axis is feminine.
But
what
does
I
it
did
mean?
Not, there were things that I didn't understand here. I didn't understand that those axes don't function separately. They function as one. So the Father might represent the vertical axis, Mother represented the horizontal axis, and they were simultaneously expressing in both. So they functioned as one. She has created a form of life with the Father called self-sustaining oneness, in which within the playground, because she's so much vaster outside of it, and everything he is in her outside of it as well, but within the playground, which we know as the cosmos, they function as a unit. As Mother changes, he changes. If he grows, it allows Mother to grow through him, and so on. She's lifted him up by doing this.
All right. Maybe now it's break time?
Yes. Now we can go off the air. We'll be back in a minute.
The brand new book, The Gift of the Unicorns, is now available from Almeen. The magical book answers the question, do mystical creatures like the winged horse Pegasus, mermaids, and giants truly exist? What is their roles, and how can they be called upon for assistance? In their own words, the unicorns reveal where they went during the ages of darkness, their heroism in preserving purity and innocence, their golden shoes, and the secret mission they undertook for the mother of all creation. To receive your copy of this amazing book of sacred secrets, The Gift of the Unicorns, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016 today. Almeen continues the exploration begun in her previous books, A Life of Miracles and Journey to the Heart of God, probing further into the nature and meaning of existence. Secrets of the Hidden Realms introduces the readers to the goddess mysteries as they apply not only to individual human lives, but to the cycles of the cosmos. From this background in the intangible functions of being, Almeen is led into the dimensions of non-humans, interacting with creatures previously known only in myth and folklore, the inner relationships of fairies, dragons, gnomes, unicorns, and other elementals, and their influence on humankind is explained. Vivid accounts of encounters with these beings and others existing as expressions of the widely divergent vibrations illustrate the essential unity of all creation. Journeying from these subtle realms, the reader is shown the ultimate expression of humanity, evolution into God-being. Secret of the Hidden Realms can be obtained from Almeen, along with her other books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Well, that was a very deeply esoteric question, and I'm not entirely sure how much of it you still would like answered, or even for that matter, how much I can answer. But what other questions would you have about that, Rohir?
Well, I wanted to ask something about a little something you touched upon, namely that Mother studies herself, and I was wondering if that would be then the main thing of creation, really, the main engine, so to speak, of creation, that she studies herself.
She studies beingness, because we are all part of beingness, it might be more apropos to say she studies life. And secondly, the issue that that mother doesn't know herself, where does that come from? One has no frame of reference, and then you have no idea of yourself. So what she is creating in through creation is a constant frame of reference by which she can understand herself. See, a problem that has had many faces, that has arisen over the years that I've worked on mother's behalf, is the fact that when creations are made without self-love, then they are prone to not having self-love. If you don't have self-love, you know, you have to make another less or conquer them, and all these things arise. Mother could not have self-love without self-knowledge. To gain self-knowledge, she had to create creations. But that meant she created creations without self-love. So what mother has done is to constantly take the experiential wisdom that is accrued from living. She constantly takes it back to the one cell, so that creation is redone and redone and redone, if you will, because if you take it back before an event happens, it changes the way that event happens, by her gaining more and more self-knowledge, more self-love, more self-acceptance, and more self-regard. Because, see, all of those are based on self-knowledge. You cannot love about yourself what you don't know. And every moment we live, we are mirroring to Mother another aspect of who she is. And so the more we do, the more we are created with self-love, and the more it changes us too.
Does all of this say then that even though we probably can't even think such questions, I mean, as in it being conceivable, but then does it mean that the mother was herself never created?
Rogier, I highly suspect that something created the one cell. But it is possibly 2 weeks ahead for me to know that. Because where I'm getting a lot of this information out of, and it's fascinating, because, see, you know, we've been opening these sacred libraries and we've been speaking about them on the air and so on. The libraries all have secrets in them. As of yesterday morning, for the first time, these libraries are delving into secrets of Mother's being that are unopened. In other words, these libraries frequently have keepers. We've just opened the Umaga, is it Umaga or Umanaga? I think it's Umanaga, libraries in Uganda in the night. And they have keepers, and they're called the Umanaga. And the keepers are 5 foot tall. They wear white robes. They're humanoid looking, but they have very luminous sort of an aura around them that's visible to the eye. They've been appearing to the oracles of the sacred orders that I'm working with, and Mother has asked me to establish all over the world. And their oracles have been receiving, you know, information, writings, visitations by the guardians of these libraries. Well, for the first time, they said, what we have been asked to keep for you, that at this point Mother must be reminded of, are in fact things that we don't know. Up until this point, that the secrets were known by the keepers. Now we're actually hitting libraries. You know, the day before, the one in Japan opened in Mount Fuji, which is called the Library of the Crane. And so these things are opening, but they don't know what it is that they're keeping. And what they're keeping is actual revelations of how life began. How far back that peels, I don't know. I can tell you, let me just see, we have roughly 14 plus 33 plus 54 libraries left that yet need to be opened.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yes.
And another question I had was actually if about the one cell, does it then mean that that's where the let's see, the most gravity, so to speak, is of Mother's being, or is that something else?
Which cell? Let's talk about
the one
original
heart
cell.
Sorry? The heart cell.
The heart cell is the original cell. Right now, with the information that we currently have, it looks that that's where life originated. Because beyond that, we have no information. The reason I'm deducing that is because there are lines through dots that are pointing that way. But it's where everything is concentrated. There is, that is the essence of what the infinite is. The cell big enough that everything is taking place in it? Or is Mother in the playground with a cell in her heart? It's very hard to determine that when there is really no space, because space and directions collapsed October 2007.
Okay, well, I was just thinking, because if there's more than one cell, then you would think that the other cells were outside of it, but...
Yes, you would. But there's no guarantee on that one, I can assure you. I mean, there's an interesting story in the book, The Gift of the Unicorns, where these four unicorns were, I think they were four, asked to guard something very precious for Mother. And they were kept in a pocket of space so no one would find them. Those, they were actually kept on Mother's person. I think she kept them, you know, under her hair, but in her purse, on her person. Yet they recount how Mother would come and visit them, and there was a special type of tea that Mother liked that the unicorns would make for her, and the dance that they did to materialize holy objects. You know, so she actually visited them, but they were in a pocket of space on her person. It's very hard for our brain to wrap itself around spaceless creation.
And probably around the idea of thinking of Mother as a person, because how does that work then? Do we think of her as a person,
well,
or as an individuation?
We should, because a person as in individuation, Mother has created a form for herself so she can relate to Father and to her children. That form happens to be on this planet, because this planet is the cradle of civilization. It is ancient beyond belief. We have no idea, because it didn't originate here. The history of where the Earth came from and so on is the second part of the gift of the unicorns in the history of the cycles given by the history keepers. But she does have a form, and just like the unicorn story, she is here to interact with us. And that has been part of what this work's goal is, to get it to the point where the holy city of the Mother and the Father, which is spoken about in Revelations, can actually become visible. It has become visible and tangible at times to some of the masters that have gathered here for what we loosely term classes in my house. But, you know, to make it visible and tangible enough that you can actually walk into it and sit on a chair is the story. And to make it that way for everyone, so that it's visible. That's what we're attempting to do. And every day, a step is done in that direction. Mother has, one of the oracles received hundreds of these incredibly complex, beautiful glyphs. And the glyphs stepped down, bit by bit by bit, this holy city into more density. Another oracle received hundreds of glyphs herself. I had to write in all the sacred languages into her glyphs, which were like shapes. And those, that stepped us up. So we're closing the gap until we can actually see that form of Mother's. Rukhir, why don't we take another quick break? I think it's about time, and we'll be right back.
Design for Miracles is a deeply inspiring and motivational book in its content. It is unique in its field in making man's relationship as the microcosm to the macrocosm understandable to both beginning and advanced readers. It's a detailed guide to living a joyous and balanced life that provides a carefully laid out map to achieving the magnificent destiny that beckons at the apex of human experience, that of ascension. If you're ready to ascend to a higher consciousness, begin each day with A Life of Miracles or any other books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or her magazine by contacting Al Mean at www.spiritualjourneys.com. After 3 months of intense physical preparation in January 2004, Al Mean experienced a transfiguration, entering the presence of the infinite for the second time since moving into God consciousness, the state of no longer identifying with the ego. In 2000, in the weeks that followed, the powerful revelations contained in this book emerged from that all-encompassing silence. Having lost most of her linear thinking during this transition, much of this book had been written without conscious thought. This form of automatic writing, like automatic speaking she now does, flows freely from source into her own handwriting from which it was transcribed. Few have entered into God consciousness to leave the bliss to teach. Still fewer enter the stage of immortal master and in addition continue to function among the masses. But as a Toltec Nagual and seer, Almi's life is dedicated to leading others to complete freedom from mortal boundaries. Journey to the heart of God is an opportunity of a lifetime to see through the eyes of one who has encountered the indescribable realms of eternity. From such a perspective come insights that can heal the deepest wounds of alienation found in human hearts. Journey to the heart of God contains, no matter how profound, truth. Truth that can be recognized for what it is, and it is the truth that shall set us free. Pick up a copy of The Journey to the Heart of God and discover your personal truth and freedom through Al Mean's books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
And we're back with you on the line here and ready for our next segment, which is our third segment on our show today. Here, what topic did you want to tackle?
Well, there was one more question I had before the break, namely that you spoke of the New Jerusalem or this holy city, and you spoke of a stepping down so that it may become more tangible, but I was actually under the impression that the advent of this city would be more synonymous with a fusing of the physical and the etheric, which would create be like a new thing, neither physical nor etheric, but what you say seems to imply more that it has to become physical.
Well, here I will tell you that again, all I can do is tell you what I would regard as the most likely, because this is another multi-layered answer that I have very many pieces not been privy to. So I don't know what Mother's way is that she will finally bring it about. I will tell you, though, that life has been in its descension mode, like a pianist playing from middle C and going upwards in what we call an arpeggio, which is do, mi, so, do, all the way up with their fingers, stair-stepping up the piano. It has gone to octave, to octave, to octave. In fact, taking life to higher octaves. Everything started at the physical, which is middle C, but it took life to the higher octaves. The trend has been with multiple things that have been done day by day that Mother has put into the Book of the Life and the Book of the One Life, which are the laws of reality. The trend has been to bring that pianist's hand down, 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 down to middle C. So although there definitely has been also stepping us up in terms of closing the gap, because if the whole cosmos steps up, well, you know, the gap stays the same. But stepping physical life up, I know, because I was required to do hundreds of glyphs with all sorts of different forms of writing in it, that we're like gates that open subtle layers between us, allowing us to move closer. But the trend has been to bring everything into the physical, that here is where it's at, that Mother herself is in, becoming more and more physical. The light, light beings everywhere are becoming more and more physical. The city is becoming more and more physical.
Okay.
And Ruhir, I want to change something I said. I think that's not a very clear explanation, and I need to change it because I could also be wrong in the way I used my words. It's Mother is physical, but physical is not to her what it is to us. Because the building blocks, the subatomic particles from which all things are made, and the only those things that are not visible to us is just because the frequency component vibrates an octave higher. But, you know, that's, again, that's being stepped down, and we may well at one point find ourselves in a world where we live right amongst the fairies and everything else. We can see the angels tangibly, because their octave is stepping down in frequency. Mother is not made from building blocks. She generates the building blocks. There's a field that precedes the building blocks that consists of power, energy, awareness, you know, things like that. That's a field. It's like we equated it, I think, on the show before, saying that it's like the stock, the broth that the vegetables are in, and the vegetables are the building blocks. But Mother is the cook that is behind it all. And so her physicality does not consist of building blocks. So even though we will be able to hug her or so on, she's not made of the same matter we are.
All right.
And I truly don't know what she's made of. Because I only know as far as the field. And I know very much about the building blocks, possibly more than people on Earth generally know, because it's come out of the libraries. And I've been doing the translating. And by the way, our first library's translations are currently available in the book The Door of Everything, which is the revelations of the mysteries of Isis. That was the original and first library that opened. And Mother had me translate one set of plates and a small bit of another. And that's what that book is.
Maybe we should just correct the title, because you called it The Door of Everything.
Oh, I am very sorry. Opening the Doors of Heaven. Do you know, I am such a turkey. It took me a year to know what the book Aruba Firina's title meant. I didn't know, because the fairies gave me that title and said, listen, here's the title of the book. You have a week to photograph our world. You have a week to be in it. And at that point, you know, for 1 week round the clock, I worked with 9 masters, and we took all these photographs that are changing, by the way, as we speak. As reality changes, some of the things become a blur and others become more clear, like Mother's Crown. But I didn't know. And then finally, I think somebody asked me on the radio show, what does it mean? I said, I'm so sorry, I have no idea. And I asked them, and they said it means gift of love. Because that book with their magic in it is their gift of love to humanity. So, you know, Mother gives these titles, but you're quite right. It's Opening the Doors of Heaven. I actually forgot what grade my poor little girl was in the other day. I am so dingy when I do this work. I can't even find my car in the parking lot. But she's in 3rd grade. And I told her teacher I thought she needed to do more multiplication if she's in 4th grade. And the teacher says, by the way, I hate to tell you this, but your kid is in 3rd grade. And of course, she goes to private school where it's independent study. But unorganized I am in my physical world when I'm in this work.
Okay. And, well, actually, I was thinking of a question which may be quite complex, but because we're discussing discussing the physicality of the mother and how to sort of approach it in the sense that it's really what she is, what creates the building blocks rather than being synonymous with the stuff, so to speak, of the building blocks.
Yes.
But I've been wondering how to wrap my brain around that one, because also we've had situations where something like a body would be made of light, or at least temporarily, and yet it feels very physical or even holographic. So I find it quite difficult to see how to really relate to these issues of light and physicality and such.
Andrew, here, I really don't know what a hologram is made of. I only know that in any given week, there is at least a full day that my hologram has to walk around and manage my life and get my little girl from school, you know, and, you know, my morning, this morning was spent that way, and the hologram runs my life. And yet people can hug it, touch it, has all the knowledge I have, they can ask it questions, but I don't know what it's actually made of. I've never asked Mother that. So I would be happy to ask her in understanding holograms, and I could even try and see if I can get any information in the next break, and hopefully tell you. I have no clue.
We should probably point out here that we're not talking about holograms in the sense of, well, what most people think of when they use the word hologram. It might be a bit confusing.
I don't know what most people mean it as.
Well,
you
as
know,
a holographic, like with lights and lasers and creating an image.
Okay, well, for those people that watch Star Trek, because years ago I used to get those videos and watch Star Trek when my son was growing up, and for people that watch Star Trek, the holodeck is a good example. The holodeck, somebody can go in, they can actually, you know, be rafting on the raft, they can have other people that give them massages, and none of them is real. But it's tangible, and it is very physical. So that is just about the way that a hologram is when they are made on Earth.
Okay. Well, I'm sure we'll get some questions about this one.
Well, for the Trekkies in our audience, they know what I mean. Rogier, let's take one more quick break, and I will in fact see if I can get any answers from about that in the meantime, and we'll be right back.
The brand new book, The Gift of the Unicorns, is now available from Almeen. The magical book answers the question, do mystical creatures like the winged horse Pegasus, mermaids, and giants truly exist? What is their roles, and how can they be called upon for assistance? In their own words, the unicorns reveal where they went during the ages of darkness, their heroism in preserving purity and innocence, their golden shoes, and the secret mission they undertook for the mother of all creation. To receive your copy of this amazing book of sacred secrets, The Gift of the Unicorns, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016 today. The Complete Power Of and the Mystical Keys series of radio programs are a part of the Premier CD set. They are available from Almeen at www.spiritualjourneys.com. Request the entire Premier CD series set or the new book, Aruba Farina, The Book of Fairy Magic, by calling 502-499-0016 today. Almeen continues the exploration begun in her previous books, A Life of Miracles and Journey to the Heart of God, probing further into the nature and meaning of existence. Secrets of the Hidden Realms introduces the readers to the goddess mysteries as they apply not only to individual human lives, but to the cycles of the cosmos. From this background in the intangible functions of being, Almeen is led into the dimensions of non-humans, interacting with creatures previously known only in myth and folklore, the inner relationships of fairies, dragons, gnomes, unicorns, and other elementals, and their influence on humankind is explained. Vivid accounts of encounters with these beings and others existing as expressions of the widely divergent vibrations illustrate the essential unity of all creation. Journeying from these subtle realms, the reader is shown the ultimate expression of humanity, evolution into God-being. Secret of the Hidden Realms can be obtained from Almeen, along with her other books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Well, look here. All I've got is that there is more to the puzzle than meets the eye. I heard Mother say you won't be able to do it in the short of a time because there's more than one type of hologram. And she said that there are different types of holograms in that. There are a few illusional beings walking around that are, in fact, just holographic, well, holograms. I don't know the difference between holographic image and hologram, but hologram is a word Mother has used, and so I've adopted it. She says that there are some leftover beings that should have perished a long time ago that are yet kept in place until certain illusion in the cosmos is done away with. But they're not in empty bodies. They are, in fact, holograms. She says that that's a different type than the ones that she has created. And she says that the ones that she has created is made in a different way. So it's not something I can do in 2 minutes, so I will be happy to try and figure it out for our next show if you want to ask it.
But then these illusional beings, they would technically be dead then, really, yet they walk around.
Well, it's more than dead, because dead implies there's a soul somewhere.
Right.
The beings that have ceased to exist are nowhere. They, you know, whatever essence that they might have at one point had has been completely disintegrated and done away with. The energy and the power has gone back into the ocean of consciousness. It's not that they're dead. It doesn't even exist.
But they would sort of, one reason why they might be kept around is because those beings would have had children which would need a parent or something, reasons like that?
That could be one reason. There are other reasons, but the point is that if everything is solved within Mother, they simply will cease to exist. Their children will be taken care of, assuming they have earned the right to exist.
All right. Are we clear on how much time we have now?
Yes.
Okay. Well,
we have approximately 8 minutes.
Okay. Well, I have a question here about... I just don't know if it can be answered in 8 minutes, but what's the difference between 3- and 4-pronged Naguals, or if that's even still the case? Do you think we can fit that one in?
I'm happy to tackle that one. So we have a situation where a Nagual has what's called a double luminous cocoon. And more people are actually being turned into Naguals when they become very pivotal light workers. They have been given a double luminous cocoon. Normally, Naguals have had this configuration of the fields around their bodies for a very long time. So... But new people that hadn't been that before are being given that as a gift. What happens when you have a double sort of a field around the body looking like an overlapping oval with another oval, in the case of a Nagual, two, the average person has one, is that it gives you more energy and it gives you more ability to do personal work. So people can become Nagwals, which is brand new. This has never been the case. So that's one new thing. The other thing, too, is that Nagwals have traditionally, those few that were able to slip through the cracks and make it into the Ascended Master Realms without tasting death, taking their bodies with them, which is the ultimate goal of Nagwals because they do not surrender to the tyranny of death when it was very much of a reality. So what happens is that the egg cracks. Now, when an egg cracks all the way through, that's death. Then the soul force escapes and leaves. But the point is that the Nagwal cracks his egg, but not all the way through. And those cracks enable him to hold more light. Initially, those that work with the unknowable, like myself, they have been three-pronged Nagwals where there are three cracks that create these prongs, these little points on the edge of the luminous cocoon. And the four-pronged Nagwals create a double crack that, like a crisscross, if you will, that makes four points. And they deal, in the case of the man, with the known, and the case of the woman, with the unknown. And so, the point that they've never written or said or taught about is the fact that when you go into the God Kingdom, if you go beyond, if you go beyond the human boundaries of ascended mastery, if you're a three-pronged Nagwal, you will crack your egg yet again the additional four times. If you're a four-pronged Nagwal and you actually go into the God Kingdom, you will crack it an additional three times. So that in the God Kingdom, there is in fact seven-pronged Nagwals. In the advanced stages of the God Kingdom, what you end up with is a 20. First you crack it an additional five times, you become a 12-pronged Nagwal. Stages beyond that become 20-pronged Nagwals. This is again the mathematical sequence of higher life. It replaces the Fibonacci sequence, but you start with 3, and then you go to 7, and then you go to 12, and then 20, and then eventually 33, 54. It's a mathematical sequence, you know, that is replacing the Fibonacci sequence in the cosmos as we raise into higher levels. So, you know, ideally, when in human form, Nagwals work together, in that, the three-pronged Nagwal and the four-pronged Nagwal formed the horizontal axis and the vertical axis. And the vertical axis deals with the unknown and the known, the horizontal with the unknowable. And so the Nagwal from the unknowable would bring in the information. You know, the woman four-pronged Nagwal would feel what this information is about. She'd interpret it, and the male Nagwal would bring it into daily life. So that is how they worked. The point is that the linear relay of information is done away with. In addition to that, the directions have been done away with. So those axes have become spheres. The tree of life, the vertical tree of life and the horizontal tree of life is no longer. What it's become is a flower of life sphere. The reason is that duality and polarity has ended. Now, we're talking about the matrix of all life in the cosmos. What we're also talking about are the tiny, minute particles that quantum physics studies. And the little crosses, the wobbly crosses, what they are is they're awareness particles. And there are also other building blocks like light and love particles. But they were linear. And they were separated in their masculine vertical axis and their feminine horizontal axis. And when Mother did away with duality, duality is that which makes something separate instead of unified. The very minute particles of life, just like the big matrix we're discussing here, became spheres with fields of love and light unified and intermingling. Does that make any sense?
Yes, it does, but I kind of got the impression we were out of time already.
Well, we have a few more minutes, and so let me just add this for them really quickly. So folks, to just finish up on this, one of the very key components of bringing duality to an end is, in fact, that Mother has decreed that light and love can never more be separated. Wherever light is, love is present. They've become an integral part of one another. We spoke earlier in our show about the issue of having mother and father be in self-sustaining oneness. Well, same for love and light. They have formed a unit. They're inseparable, and the time of duality has come to an end. Thank you so very much for joining us today. We're delighted to have you, and we'll speak to you again soon.
The Complete Power Of and the Mystical Keys series of radio programs are a part of the Premier CD set. They are available from Al Mean at www.spiritualjourneys.com. Request the entire Premier CD series set or the new book, Aruba Farina, The Book of Fairy Magic, by calling 502-499-0016 today.
Enjoy today's show, The Mystical World We Live In, with Al Mean. Please join us again next week.